The message for 2020 is that we already, we've said it many times, it's been a year of unknowns, changes and challenges, right? And we have to depend so much in the Lord like never before. Like when you thought you had it, when you knew what you were going to do, something changed, right? And everything is changing all the time. He never changes, right? He never changes. And he's a faithful, faithful Father. And he desires us. I mean, regardless of what we're going through, he wants us. He wants us to call on him when we need to, when we need to cry, when we need.
That's it.
He always desires us, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So it's okay to be doing that. It is okay. We have needed to change how we do church because we need to reach out to the people out there, right? To be effective in how we communicate and reach out to our community. I mean, we have needed to come up with protocols and changes and to keep people safe by submitting to our health authorities and being, just doing it the best that we can when we gather, when we meet. And I know not everybody's happy. And, I mean, nobody likes, right, the mask and all those things. But we've decided to submit to one another in love. And I just want to say, Shiloh, you're doing great.
You're doing a great job, Shiloh. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, good job, Shiloh. We're so proud.
Yes. We've gone through many changes and do this today and next week we don't do that. And you are just doing great. So we just want to thank you for that. And maybe it's been a year of a lot of struggles, emotionally, physically, financially, I don't know. Spiritually, it's been a year that we're not in our comfort zone. And I don't know what your response has been to these situations. And I promise he will share too, okay? but let me encourage you with these scriptures. In Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope in him, firm and secure. Our God doesn't change, and he's with us. But let me just ponder upon that. We have this hope in him, firm and secure. There's some times that my life is not perfect or things are not the way I wanted them to be, but I have this hope. It doesn't, you cannot explain it. You cannot come up or rationalize it. It's just a hope in you that is firm and secure when we are in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
In James 1:12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
He sees you. He knows you. He's with us until the end. In Psalms 103:11 through 14 says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
I think that that's worth reading again. I think we need to really emphasize those last couple of lines.
As a father pities his children, you can read it with me, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. He knows our frailty, our weaknesses, and none of us are perfect. Yes? Now, we can think of temptations, right, and sin. But what about when we're tempted to give up, to live without faith, to complain or isolate, to look elsewhere for answers? So as we read in James 1:12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. And this year we have been tested and we've been tempted. That good thing is that He knows us. He knows our frame and He knows we're fragile. And as it says in the scripture, we are like dust, but He's ready to forgive us when Amen. We repent Amen. And we call Him. Amen? So regardless of what 2020 brought or what 2021 will be, we don't know, right? We just know that our focus or our strength should be focused on Him. As we read in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope in Him, firm and secure. Say it with me. We have this hope in Him, firm and secure.
Amen.
So as we remember that, there's grace. Amen. Oh, His amazing grace. His amazing grace. And we must continue to look up, to keep our eyes on God and His faithfulness. Like a father who pities his children, He's not too far, and His redemption and reward are near.
Amen. Let me just remind you that there's purpose in all your trials and temptations. God never lets a crisis go to waste in our life. You know, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, and you know this scripture very well. You probably heard it. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, what kind? Any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity. What is it? An opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Maybe it's not on the screen yet, but it says, consider an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, and anything that God does in your life will be tested. Your faith will be tested. God is not just going to do something, just to be nice. You know, He's getting you ready for something. It says, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And then it says in verse 4, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Amen. We're not talking about perfection, never doing anything wrong. We're talking about maturity, knowing who we are in God and knowing what God is doing, hearing His voice regularly and knowing which way to move with Him. Amen. So today, we want to encourage you to continue to look up. Everybody say, look up. And we want to give you three keys to rejoicing your trials. Because a lot of people think, oh, 2021 is coming, the end of our problems are over. You know, or, I mean, our problems are over, the end of all these trials, you know, is ahead. I can't promise you that. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations or afflictions. It's just the nature of the business. We're going to struggle in here, and we can't just say it's going to get easier. Jesus Himself said, hey, in the end times, there's going to be all kinds of nasty things, right? Rumors of wars, right? There's going to be nations coming against nations, right? There's going to be plagues. There's going to be famines. There's going to be signs in the heavens. All kinds of things happen. And can we even see that our nature, our environment is groaning and saying like, it's the end times. Am I the only one that's seeing that? How many of you wanted snow for Christmas? Did we get snow for Christmas? Did we get a lot of rain this year? And, you know, I'm not into this, climate change, hug the trees. God has called us to be stewards. We have to take care of what He has given us, but not before taking care of our worship and taking care of one another. We are the crown of the creation. We take care of people. Amen? That's what we have to do. But the world, you know, the nature, the heavens, they're telling us something's ahead. And Jesus said, you don't know the day nor the hour, but you will know the season. Do you guys remember that? So we want to encourage you by giving you three keys to rejoicing in your trials. The first one is you need to focus on that which is positive, but not just positive, it has to be of faith. Positive and of faith. Everybody say positive and of faith. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, come on. I could just spend the rest of our preaching or our message on this. Because how many of us, we love to dwell on negativity. We give in to whatever the news media and social media are telling us. Oh, and we parrot it. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, it says think about such things. This is not a nice suggestion. It is a command. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And it says, and then the God of peace will be with you. Are you understanding this? We have a choice to make here. To look up. To sift through the junk and focus on that which is positive and of faith. The strategy of the enemy of Satan and his demons is to bombard us with bad news. Fake news. Overwhelm our senses. How many of us feel overwhelmed sometimes? Oh, I got to turn it off. That's too much. Because first it begins by what we hear. Right? But eventually, if we're not careful, then it begins to come out of our mouths. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, it's not what comes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out of the person. Comes out of your mouth. It's when you, because lies are going to be bombarding you all the time. But when you take it in and then you receive it and repeat it, that's when you're in trouble. It begins, like I said, to come out of our mouths, and now we become partners with our very enemy. We become hooked on news media. Well, most of these sources know that it, listen, in order for you to become a returning customer, these people know their marketing, okay? They know that they need to attach everything that you're hearing to an emotion. Psychologists have realized this, that in order for you to remember something or to be impressed greatly by something, you need to connect it to an emotion. That's why a lot of teachers will now ask you, how does this make you feel? You mean this calculus equation? It's making me frustrated. It's making me mad. Right, Ms. Denny? You know, it's just the way it is. But we want you to connect what you're seeing to an emotion because then it gets fused into your memory. So the people in the news media know this very well. They know that they must appeal to our emotions. That's even when in social media, they want you to classify everything, right? Okay, well, how do you like this little statement or this little picture? Well, you can choose from happy, sad, wowed, angry, you know, despair, you know, and any other emotions that you can find, fear, awe. And so our nature, because adrenaline is released when we're seeing all these things, is that we become addicted. You know, they get our children addicted early in life to these things. You know, instead of being proactive, we're being reactive. You know, we're taking in what the world is throwing at us, and now we're beginning to repeat it. We're parroting back what the world is telling us. Instead of doing what the scripture tells us, which we need to think about that which is, what is it saying there? Noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. All of us are guilty here. Let's just be real here. Before you hit your car, watch your mouth. I'm talking about curse words. I'm just talking about, will you dwell on that which is worthy of praise? On God's faithfulness. On God's goodness. Hallelujah. You are breath today. Doesn't the psalm say, let everything that has do what? Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling achy today, you know. I don't feel like dancing today. I'm not going to lift my hands because I'm not feeling it. You know, when people say, I don't feel like lifting my hands, it actually, I attach an emotion to that. It makes me angry because God is worthy of our praise whether you feel it or not. Anyone that's been blood washed by Jesus needs to, you know, kneel down, raise their hands. You don't have to do it like me. I like to jump. I'm expressive. I understand that. But come on, you need to give everything you got. Whatever it is that you have, you need to give it to God. He doesn't want the leftovers of your praise. He wants the best part of you. In 2021, we need to say He is faithful. Even before the first second strikes, we need to say He is faithful. That doesn't change. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants begging for bread. Anybody here not have a meal for Christmas? Anybody didn't have anything to eat this morning? Maybe, well, you like a shake or just some water before church. I don't know. That's up to you. But you had the choice, right? But what we don't have is a place for us to say, I'm not going to praise God today. We have to. And by the way, we're the only part of creation that has the choice. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, it says that if we don't praise Him, you know, then the rocks will cry out in our place. And like, as John Canole used to say, I'm not going to let the rocks, you know, beat me to it. I'm not going to let the rocks beat me to it. Hallelujah. So the scripture in Philippians reminds us to rejoice always. When? Always. We have a choice. Tell the person next to you, we have a choice. We have to be intentional. We have to close off the sources of negativity and deception and focus intently, right, proactively on that which will feed our spirit. And sometimes social media is also a highlight reel, right? Oh, everything's great, everything's great, everything's great. And you're like, my life ain't that great. You know, and it makes you feel bad, and you begin to attach emotions in a countering reaction or emotion to what you're actually seeing. This should not be. The scripture commands us even there to laugh with those that laugh, or to rejoice with those that rejoice, and then to weep or to cry with those that cry. But always focusing on that which is positive and of faith. Not just positive. I don't want just this humanistic positive thinking. It's got to be connected to the Word. There's a lot of things that float out there that are not scriptural. We need to make sure it is in the Scripture. It's got to be of faith. It's got to be connected to God so that we can intake and then echo the right things. Hallelujah. In doing so, what's happening is that we're actually feeding our spirit. We're feeding our spirit and we're starving the flesh. You have a spirit and you have a flesh. Paul tells us about this quite a bit, right, in Romans, right? There's a duality to you. Billy Graham, remember, says, he would say that you have like two fighting dogs, two pit bulls inside of you. And the one that's going to win is the one that gets fed. Now, some people feed both, and so it's a lockdown. It's like, oh, the spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. That's, you know, and so you have... You don't have any progress. It seems like there's always like a tie inside of you because you're feeding both your spirit and your flesh. I'm telling you, if you will just begin to feed your spirit as we begin the year with prayer and fasting, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to experience God like never before. I'm telling you, you need to sow the best of your life into God, and what you're going to reap is a great breakthrough. Some of you need to reprogram your thinking. The battle's in the mind. You need to reprogram the cassette, as they say, even though cassettes are not really available anymore. We did buy a vinyl record the other day because my niece is into this thing now where she's buying vinyl records. So we're like, where do we get that? You know, we couldn't wait to get rid of them, and now the people are paying for that. You know, but we got to be reprogrammed. We got to renew our mind. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, right? How do we do that? We need to read the scripture. We need to dwell on that which is good and noble and worthy of praise and pure. So I remember Pastor Robert Morris talking about, you know, a person that he says, I watch so much pornography, that's all I think about. It just fills my mind. You know, and he says, well, what do I do, Pastor? It says, for 30 days, I want you to read the scripture for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, 30 days. 30 minutes, 30 days. And then come back and tell me what happens. And lo and behold, after a month of staying in the Word for 30 minutes a day, the person's mind was renewed and he had a great breakthrough in their mind. I am telling you, we need to focus on that which is good and praiseworthy. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So good. Point number two, remember God's acts of faithfulness. In Psalms 103, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. If you follow me on social media, most of my posts are positive or pretty pictures. And it's not that I'm trying to appear or portray a perfect life. Sometimes I do want to complain, and sometimes I do want to share things, but I've chosen to not do that. I've chosen to, as much as I can, not that I am perfect, but as much as I can, to dwell on that which is worthy. So I invite you to do that. Amen. Remembering God's acts of faithfulness with our son, God sustained us, and this is not just this year, we're going on with 2 years, but God sustained us through dark times, through lonely times, uncertain and stressful times. But we choose to never forget his acts of faithfulness.
Amen.
And by now, you probably, most of you know the story of our son, Eric the Brave, born 2 years ago at 25 weeks gestation, born tiny and fragile in our eyes, right? We all got to see that. But it was a perfect opportunity for God to do a miracle. And as Pastor Eric shared on Thursday, the greater your difficulty, the greater of an opportunity for God to do a miracle. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
When baby Eric was born, can you hold this for me? I got to hold him 8 days after he was born, and I got to do skin care, and he was tiny. And I held him for 2.5 hours. And before you do that, you had to do, you know, I had to pump, I had to eat, I had to go to the restroom. You couldn't just stress a baby. If you were going to hold him, you had to be still. And I was sweating, because I thought I'm going to hurt him. He had lines everywhere, and you know, he was intubated for 5 weeks. And but if you see him now, so he was tiny, right? If you see him now, he's full of life, he's beautiful, he's healthy, he's strong. We celebrated his birthday, his second birthday, at the mountains, where he can be in the wild, and he can play with rocks and all of that. But what I'm trying to say is that the greater our difficulty, the greater your miracle. And I have a big miracle that I see every day. Amen? And amen. And you've been so amazing to us. So amazing. He was born in December, so now this is my second year. Christmas has a little bit of emotion, a lot of emotion. But we had a great Christmas. And amen. Even 2 years ago when we were at the Ronald McDonald House, you will not believe the favor of God. Everywhere, at the hospital, at the Ronald McDonald House, here. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And if you didn't know, baby Eric was portrayed in like 2 videos for the news in Tucson. And then he was at the U of A game. And then he's on 3 billboards.
On the Jumbotron, they had a video with him on it during this U of A game. And then just recently, yeah, he's on 2 billboards.
3 billboards.
Oh, yeah, 3 billboards in Tucson. He became the face of Ronald McDonald House.
And isn't it God just so good?
Yeah.
They just say, Raquel, we just love these pictures and we love your family and so on and so forth. And he was also displayed on the yearly like magazine for the Ronald McDonald House. I mean, God has used his life. Amen. And I tell them, we have a praying church. We have a praying church. God is so good to us. Amen. And amen. And what about God's faithfulness throughout this year? In the projects, in everything that we've done this year, we've seen God's faithfulness in greater ways this year. Through the challenges we endured together as a church, he has poured out so much creativity, resources, unity. Yeah. Unity. He has given Amen. Us vision to reach out to our community in very creative ways. We see God's grace and his favor in this house. Amen. When Mother's Day was coming up and we didn't know what to do, and I'm home and you know, we're not having in-person services, and I'm home and thinking, what are we going to do for Mother's Day? And I'm conscious about budget for the church, and I'm thinking, oh, what can we do, you know? And one day I just decided to email a couple of people. And I had taken a magazine home, and it's kind of for outreaches, and it just has very beautiful pictures of items that we can purchase to give away. And anyways, I remember I messaged Tamara, Pastor Eric, different people, and I said, can we do a drive-through for Mother's Day? And can we give away maybe a drink? And, you know, and then, you know, within an hour or so, Tamara messaged us, and she's our administrator, and she said, last night I was telling my husband, what are we going to do for our moms? And if you were not here for Mother's Day, that was an amazing event. And then we had a Zoom meeting, and we planned it, and we gave out all kinds of amazing drinks like frappuccinos, Italian sodas. We picked a gift for our mothers, and we had it, took pictures. We had it decorated with beautiful flowers. How many of you remember? And music, and it was beautiful.
With the drone footage?
With a drone. I was like, I want a drone. Can we get a footage of that? And we got it. And then for Father's Day, we said we have to do it, and we did brats. And can I say something? That was the best thing ever. I had two of those. If we could add that to the mother's drive-through, that would be perfect. And we had floats for them. It was just so special. Then we had the parking lot party. We couldn't do our vacation Bible school here in the building, but we went out in the parking lot, and we had very creative people that decided, hey, let's practice social distancing, and we'll chuck the parking lot, and we leave every space open, every other space open for families. And we were able to reach out to our community amazingly, I thought, so creative, instead of saying we're not having it, right? And then we had the movie night. We rented this big screen out of Tucson. They came, and somebody was very generous, I believe, and they said, I want to pay to have a movie night outside in the parking lot. We're like, we'll do it. And we did. Then we fasted together. We prayed together. I mean, we've done amazing things through the challenges that we faced this year.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then, what about financial stability? We were kind of like, we were not sure how this year was going to look like, right? We hear so many things, but we've seen God's faithfulness. Even Amen. In this area, there's no explanation. It's God's grace and favor in this house because of your faithfulness. If we are faithful with a little bit, we already know He will give us more, and I believe He's doing that. Amen. In May, Pastor Eric came full-time here at the church after having a career for Huachuca for 18 years, and that took faith. We have been excited all along for about a year, but that, I'm telling you, the moment that it was about to happen, I was like, are you sure we're going to do this? But I'm telling you, God has been so faithful. Yeah, in the middle of COVID, I was like, I wish COVID was not happening right now, right? And we took the step of faith, and God has been so faithful to our family and here at the church. Can we praise God for that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then I have, what about healing? We've been praying for healings. Like, I believe, like never before. I mean, not just COVID-related, all kinds of healings.
Amen.
And God has answered so many of our prayers, all of our prayers. And He protected our son. Here is baby Eric again. He contracted COVID, that little boy, a few weeks ago.
All of us did, really.
All of us did.
We were more worried about him.
We've been told by his pulmonologist to be terrified of not just this, of everything, right? And I've known that he's fragile and that I have to be very cautious with him. And I called his pulmonologist to let her know the results. And I said he doesn't have symptoms, and I know he's been exposed for about a week already. And she said to me, kids are responding so well to this virus. Call me if he gets sick. And I already have our countertop in our bathroom was like layered of medications, because I have an action plan. The moment that he starts coughing, I just have breathing treatments and things that I give him. So I'm ready. My stethoscope is there. The thermometer is there. Like, I have Pedialyte and I have everything. I'm ready, okay? And I look at him every day and he looks fine. I'm just telling him he really has it, and I'm just not saying I don't take it. I'm a nurse, and I've heard, and I talked to my friends that are still working, but I'm telling you, God protected my baby.
Yes.
God protected my baby.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I assess him daily thinking, oh, he's probably going to show up with symptoms, right? And no, he didn't. God delivered our family. God delivered our family, and I'm just so thankful. Amen.
Amen. So let's do a little bit of review. So in order for us to rejoice and to overcome during trials, we need to do, number one, what be positive, you know, but in faith, right? Focus on that which is positive and of faith. And second, we're going to remember. We need to do mental exercises of remembering God's acts of faithfulness. Come on, it's so easy to focus on the negativity, and then we actually forget. Sometimes we have prayed for things that God has answered, but because we don't jot it down or we don't, you know, choose to remember, we can't come back and praise God, you know, for it. So just even right now, just think about all that God has done for you. Thus far, the Lord has brought you to this point. Come on. So the last point before I close is seek unity and fellowship with believers. Come on, you cannot rejoice in the trials when you're going it alone. This is a team sport. God has called us to do it as a team. If you're not connected to a people that are full of God and full of faith, come on, you know, all of us are frail. We already talked about that. None of us are perfect. But you need a people that are like-minded to come around you. It's been a tough year, but one of the keys to rejoicing is to choose those that you're going to walk the journey with. You have to be choosy. I love you and all. I love you and all. But maybe you're not the one to walk this journey with. You know, every believer has to go through that. When you become saved and you're like, oh, but my friends. You know, but every time you're around them, you get led astray. You know, bad morals. What did it say? Bad company corrupts good morals. So this year, certainly we could not have survived without being in tight, God-loving relationships, being in covenant friendships, united by the common bond of Jesus who saved us. When you find a people that are so grateful for Jesus' redemptive work in their life, and then you come alongside of them, come on, that's why it's so good to also choose who you marry well. You understand that? The Bible says that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it doesn't just mean that they have to be just barely saved. They need to be at the same spiritual level so you don't feel like you're dragging them. And it's been so awesome that truly my wife and I have been shoulder to shoulder all along. She's definitely been my partner, and I'm so proud to be standing here with her. But there's nothing that you can't go through when you have people like that around you. It truly is. Talk about Paul and Silas. Jesus and the disciples, Peter and John. I mean, there was always somebody there, you know, that walked the difficulties with. God designed this, like I said, to be a team sport. Much like choosing faith-filled thoughts, we talked about being positive. You also have to choose your faith-filled friends. Amen? You have to let go of destructive thoughts and destructive friends. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23-25, you know this. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Oh, this has been a year they're like, where's the hope? There it is. Grab onto it. Grab onto the hope. Whatever, you know, and I'm not letting go, God. I'm not letting go. I don't care what the world is saying. You know, I don't call this thing, if this thing falls to pieces, if I die, it doesn't matter. I'm going to hold on to the hope because heaven is my home. Amen. And it says, for God can be trusted What? God can be trusted. He is faithful to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Oh, come on. This year we're like, I know we're not into activism. Just do things for the sake of doing things. We pray. We say, God, what do you want us to do? When before December came, we got together as a team, as a creative team, and said, what are we going to do for Christmas? And all of a sudden, after we prayed, ideas began to come. And for some reason, it happens after 1 hour after we start meeting. We kind of timed it. For the first hour, we're like, oh, we don't know. And about an hour into it, it's like creativity just goes. What if we do a parking lot thing? And what if we do, crafts? And what if we do caroling? Go to their houses since they can't come to church. And, let's just not just have one service because we want to have distancing. Let's have two services, and then let's have that amazing candlelight service. By the way, if you weren't here on Thursday, it was packed. There was more people here on Thursday than now. If you're watching from home, I'm not mad at you. I know it's Christmas and you're probably enjoying your family in your pajamas. Have a sip of the hot cocoa on us. It's all right. We still love you. But there are four things that Shiloh is about. What did we say a couple of weeks ago? We want you to know God, experience freedom, find family, and fulfill your purpose. That's not what Shiloh is about. By the way, Shiloh is the name of Jesus. This is what God is about, what Jesus is about. This applies to any church. He wants you to know God, experience freedom, find family, and fulfill your purpose. And for any of these, you have to select the friends that you're going to run with. Amen? A good place to find strong connections, by the way, is our connection groups. How many of you are involved in connection groups in one way or the other? You look at all these people that meet regularly, whether it's in homes or in volunteer teams, Celebrate Recovery, Life in the Spirit. I mean, there are so many to choose from. You can go to our website and look them up. Amen? Because trials will come, and so will temptations. But if you get connected to people that are like-minded, having people near to you while being imperfect, who want to please Jesus. At times when you're discouraged, God is going to use them to pick you up. There's times when, they're going to be down and God is going to use you to pick them up. Two are better than one, says the scripture. And these are people who may tell you what you don't want to hear. Come on. A true friend, a God-ordained friend will get in your face. There's a proverb that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's a pastor that would say, do I have permission to wound you? He's like, okay, pastor. He's like, here it comes. You're going to get a light, loving spanking, from God. Amen. But these are people that love you enough to not allow you to coast. Or they love you enough not to let you get worse, go deeper into the mud. Sometimes when we're down, we don't like that phone call, right? Or that text message. Hey, we miss you today. Hey, we noticed that you were doing this thing, I'm not trying to get in your business, but I love you. Come on. Jesus built the church and he gave us a model. Then he said, hey, we need to have 12 friends and then I'll be the head, right? That's how it works. And 12 is not a magic number. It doesn't have to be exactly 12. It could be 2 to whatever number, But Jesus needs to be at the head of that, and then it works powerfully. The church has gone through centuries and has survived every kind of challenge. Think about this. We've gone through wars, famines, plagues, persecutions, throwing the Christians, into the Colosseum, feeding them to lions. But they did it together. They praised the Lord in the midst of it. Why? Because they had not just, someone that was like-minded, but they also had the Holy Spirit, to strengthen them. And my wife and I have truly felt the palpable, love of each of you. So many of you bless us, and you don't get to see what everybody else does, but those little notes, those little gifts, those little phone calls, those text messages, those Facebook messages, those Instagram messages, all those little things have encouraged us That's when we can stand up here, you know, and we can declare that God is faithful and He uses each one of you, even when you're just passing and you smile, even when you just show up and I know you had a hard week and you're here to praise the Lord. That alone just blesses my heart. Come on, this year has been special. You know, I felt the prayers of the Hostons. I felt the prayers of the Tumpkins. I felt the prayers of the Registers. I can tell you that I've never been closer to the Registers. I can tell you, you know, don't take this badly, Pastor Marge, but I've become really good friends with this man. We spend a lot of hours talking here at the office, you know, sometimes over the phone, but a lot of times just in his office or in my office, just chatting, you know, about life and ministry. And I've never been closer to this man than this year. Why? Somehow adversity, you know, brings us together. You know, with Jesus at the helm, some special happens. And you're closer than ever before. You know, when we come in on Tuesdays, our staff begins with prayer. Every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., you know, we come into the office, we do a few, you know, things, you know, just to get ready. Then at 10 o'clock, the first thing we do is, okay, what are our prayer requests and what are our praise reports? You know, it used to be like a 5-minute prayer. Now we'll spend, you know, 30 minutes and 40 minutes praying because God gives us so much to be praying about. But you know what that's done? I'm telling you, if you want to get close to somebody, pray with them. Marriages. I'm telling you, this applies to marriages. Seek unity and fellowship with believer, with your spouse. If you will begin to pray with your spouse, I'm telling you, one time Pastor Jim just said to me, Eric, I'm not suggesting this. I'm commanding you. You need to pray every day with your wife. I was like, wow, he's never been that direct. You know, I was like, okay, Pastor Jim. But it's part of our legacy. In case you didn't know, he used to be our pastor of prayer, pastor of counseling. And I think he's in the Phoenix area with his daughter Pam this weekend. But anyway, when we began to pray together, we saw something happen. It was a power that was released. And so whether it's your spouse or someone else, when we pray together on a regular basis, something happens. All of a sudden, those little things that the devil used to use to get you down or to offend you or to... It just falls off. You just begin to gel in the spirit. Come on. I love how God has used the Heideckers. Man, I've never been closer to the Betancourts than this year. Man, it's been just amazing to see there. And so many of you. I could just go down the list of all the friends that we've spent time. You know, you truly are our family. And there's no one else we'd rather do life with than you guys. And I'm just saying that. I love our family at Shiloh. There's something special about this body. And maybe every church can say that. But I don't know. I can truly say it about our body. God has done something special here. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal. And let me just modify it a little bit. A true God-ordained friend. A true God-ordained friend. Not just an acquaintance, not someone who's just going to smile. How you doing? How you doing? How you feeling? Oh, I'm doing all right. And then they're actually a mess. No, people that will get into reality and into the nitty-gritty of things. It says, is always loyal, and a brother is born to help. And when? In time of need. Another version says, for a time of adversity. I'm telling you, some of us men, come on, man. We like to be the Lone Ranger. Okay, let me use a different example because that's kind of old now. We like to be, you know, Lonesome Dove. No, that's still kind of old. We like to be just isolated. Oh, I'm the man. I can do this alone. I'm a hermit. I can go to my cave. I don't need anybody, you know. I can just game my life, get into my gaming console and just work it out. But I'm telling you, we need people. You cannot grow without other people. Somebody once said, I think it was, it's got an interesting name, this leadership guru, I can't remember his name, but he said, except for the people that you meet and the books you read, you will be the same person a year from now. How important it is to have the right relationships in your life. Some of you are struggling because you want to. Or struggling more than you ought to, really, better said. Because you have not wanted to allow people in. Vulnerability is a good thing. Everybody say vulnerability. And if you know what it is, just look it up. That's homework. Okay? Vulnerability. Transparency. It's a good thing. I'm telling you, Sometimes you just want to be super pastor, super dad. You know, you can't. You need people in your life. So I'm going to close. Focus on that which is positive and of faith. Remember God's acts of faithfulness. Be intentional about it. And then be decisive in choosing those you're going to do journey with. Don't just be a churchcomer. Be connected to the body. Remember, if you see those big, you know, banners outside, it says win, connect, train, send. That's why that second step is so crucial. You cannot get into the train phase until you're well connected. You got to be connected. And it takes a little bit of intentionality. You know, when people don't know you or, you know, it's awkward at times. But just like any relationship, even with God, as you begin to talk and spend time with Him, then something happens. You know, there's something special that happens. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort. What kind of effort? Every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're going to hold on to hope, and we're going to hold on to one another in this season. We have to. We have to. Come on, let's stand together.